I want you to take your Bible, if you would, please. Ephesians chapter 2. Would you turn there, please? Ephesians chapter number 2 over in the New Testament. And again, Pastor, thank you so much for letting me come and be here. Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 1, the Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Now, who's the you? Who is it that Paul is talking about? Well, in chapter 1, verse number 1, it says, "Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." So he is writing to the saints at Ephesus, but he also says, "and to the faithful in Christ Jesus." If you are a child of God, he has something to say to you this morning. If you are not a child of God, he's going to really have something to say to you. But he is writing here to the saints at Ephesus and to those that are faithful to Jesus Christ. Now notice what he said, "and you hath he quickened." That word quickened means made alive. "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Verse 2, "wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Years ago, I had the opportunity to go to Peru. When I pastored, I traveled every other year to the mission field. I would go visit our missionaries. I would spend time with them just to go and encourage them. And I had the opportunity to go to Lima, Peru. While I was in Lima, Peru, I went to the Church of St. Francisca. Sounds like San Francisco, doesn't it? But I went to the Church of St. Francisca, and I visited the catacombs. The catacombs are underneath that church. You go down in a dungeon there. And when I went down in that dungeon, they told me that there are some 25,000 people buried underneath that church. When I went down, they took me to an area, and we went into a room, Pastor. And when I went into that room, there were skulls that were in a circular fashion. If you've ever looked at a target like a bullseye, you have the outer circle and then another circle and then another circle working your way to the inner circle. And that's the way they were laid out. And the gentleman that worked there, he said, "We have done this in artistic fashion." I'll be honest with you, I looked at that and I thought, I don't see anything about art with 25,000 skulls. If you ask me, that's just dead people. That's what it is. They took me to another room, and they had the arms and hands. They took me to another area where there were legs and feet. They had disassembled their bodies and placed them in what they called artistic fashion. I looked at the gentleman standing there, and I looked at the missionary that was with me, and I said, "We're surrounded by dead people. There's nothing artistic here. We're surrounded by dead people." I had not been preaching very long. We had had our first child, Kristen, and I was to preach a funeral in Virginia. And I didn't know what to do. Kristen was just a little girl. I mean, she was very small, but I mean, she was walking, but she was small. My wife was to sing in the funeral service. I was to preach. What am I going to do with my girl? So I went to the funeral home director, and I knew him well. His name was Charlie, and I said, "Charlie, I have a question for you." I said, I, I'm to preach this funeral, but I don't know what to do with my daughter. You see, my daughter had never seen a dead person before. I didn't know how she would react to that. I didn't want to bring her to the front row and set her down. I knew I couldn't bring her to the platform. I didn't want to leave her in the back all by herself. I said, Charlie, what can I do with my daughter? And he said, oh, Brother Whitlow, that's not a problem. He said, in my office, he said, I've got some toys. He said, children come in all the time. He said, so I keep toys in my office. He said, what we'll do, he said, she can go with me to my office. And he said, she can play while you have the service. I thought, well, that solves the problem. And so I did that. I went over, and she knew Charlie. He knew her. And so he went to her, and he said, come on, Kristen, come with me. So he reached down, and she reached up her little hand, and away they went. Problem solved, I thought. I went to the platform, and I began the service. My wife came, and she sang. And then I finished the service, and we've closed out. And now it's time to go to the graveside. So as we are dismissing everyone, my wife and I go by the office. And when we go by the office, I open the door so that I could get our little girl. And when I opened the door, I was shocked. When I opened the door, there our little girl was sitting in the floor playing with dead bodies on both sides of her. I looked at my wife. I looked back at Kristen. Our little girl looked up at me and she went, shh, they're sleeping. They don't even know I'm here. And I looked at my wife and I said, she's surrounded by dead people. She's surrounded by dead people. I wanted to protect her. I didn't want her to be. She's surrounded by dead people. Can I tell you something, church? Every day of our life, we're surrounded by dead people. You say, what do you mean? And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, before you ever got saved, you were spiritually dead. Spiritually dead. But when you got saved, you were made alive in Jesus Christ. Jesus took that old dead life and resurrected it and gave it life. If you remember when Lazarus died and here comes Jesus. Have you noticed they couldn't even have a good funeral when Jesus was around? Because he'd raised the dead. The corpse would get up and walk away. But yet, before you and I got saved, we were dead. See, I want you to notice some things with me real quickly this morning. First of all, lost people are dead people. They're dead people. Death is the opposite of life. John chapter 17, verse 3 says, and this is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent. Verse 17 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. You see, the dead need to be quickened. They need to be brought to life. And only Jesus can do that. John chapter 6, verse 44, no man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day. Hey, can I tell you, as the Word of God is being preached, it is amazing how the Holy Ghost of God will speak to your heart, and you'll begin to question yourself and say, hey, am I one of those dead people? If you're here this morning and you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you would fall into that category. Yes, you're one of those dead people. Because lost people are dead people. That's why when people don't understand, why in the world do you go to church? Even during a pandemic, why do you want to go to church? Why do you want to come and put money in an offering plate? Why do you want to be in Sunday school? Why do you want to sing in the choir? Why do you want to support missionaries? Why do you want to get the gospel to California? Everybody knows how wicked California is. Why in the world do you want to get the gospel to them? Because they're dead people and they must be saved. The only way they're going to be able to go to heaven is to know Jesus Christ is their Savior. They're dead people. John chapter 12, verse number 32 says, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." That's exactly what Jesus did when he went to the cross of Calvary. And because of that, you and I have the privilege and the opportunity to know Jesus Christ as our Savior. I want you to notice, first of all, their circumstances in verse number 1. The Bible says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Trespasses means to cross a boundary. Sin means to miss the mark. It means to fall short of the standard. And every one of us here has fallen short of God's standard. None of us are good enough to get to heaven. None of us have righteousness of our own. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no, not one. But yet I'll talk to people and I'll ask them, if you were to die today, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? And they would say, "I hope so. I'm working on it. I'm a church member. I've not been too bad." But friend, none of that meets the standard that God has set. The Bible says, "Be ye holy as I am holy." We're not holy people, not until you know Jesus Christ as your Savior. Lost people are dead people. I'm reminded, I went into a prison. When I walked inside that prison, to my right was a young man sitting up on a top bunk, and he didn't have a shirt on. He had shorts on. His body was covered in tattoos. His face was covered. The top of his head was covered. And I walked inside, and I had just finished preaching in a service next door, and I'm not preaching in this service where he's in. I just simply went in to help, and as I went inside and I looked at him, and God touched my heart, and I thought to myself, somebody needs to talk to that guy. The preacher began to preach, and the whole time he was preaching, I kept thinking about that young man, and I kept thinking, somebody needs to talk to that guy. And when the preacher finished preaching, he said, "Is there anyone in this room that would be willing to lift up your hand? You would like to have one of these missionaries to come and pray with you?" And several hands went up, and that young man's hand popped up. And I thought, somebody is going to get to talk to that guy. And then the preacher said, "All right, missionaries." He said, "I want you to go and pick out an inmate and go and talk with them." And every single one of those missionaries went to the left side. And on the right side was just that guy and me. Then the thought hit me, I guess I know who's going to go and talk to that guy. And so I walked over to him, Pastor, and as I walked over to where he was, he jumped down off that top bunk. He looked me straight in the face, stuck his finger in my face, and he said, "Are you afraid of me?" And I thought, I'd rather not answer that question. And then I said one of the dumbest things I've ever said in my life. I'm in a prison. Over 2,000 inmates. And I don't know why, but I opened my mouth, stuck my foot, my leg, all the way up to my hip in it. And I stuck my finger back in his face, preacher, and I said, "No, I'm not. Are you afraid of me?" That's dumb. That's one of the dumbest things I've ever done in my life. I was in prison. And I stuck my finger in that guy. I don't know what he did. He may be in there for killing preachers for all I know. That was ridiculous. And immediately, tears started running all down his face. He was sobbing uncontrollably. Never seen a guy cry like that. He said, I was listening to that guy. He said, and when I was listening to him, he said, everybody hates me. He said, nobody wants anything to do with me. He said, everybody's afraid of me. He said, my mama's afraid of me. My daddy's afraid of me. He said, my friends that I used to be, he said, they don't want anything to do with me any longer. They're afraid of me. He said, the other inmates in here are afraid of me. They don't want anything to do with me. He said, the guards are afraid of me. They don't want anything to do with me. He said, is it true that God would love somebody like me? I said, yes, sir. It is true. And I took about 15 minutes and took my Bible and just went through verse after verse after verse. And then that young man bowed his head and trusted Christ as Savior. He went from being dead to being alive. You say, well, what did he do to get in there? Doesn't matter. That's none of my business. All that matters is he went from being dead to being alive. You see, all of us have got some things in our lives. You say, well, not me. I've been pretty good. Well, that's the problem. You've been pretty good, but not good enough. Because God's standard is so high, none of us meet it. Are you lost this morning? If so, you're spiritually dead. But not only is lost people dead people, I want you to notice number two, lost people are deceived people. They're deceived people. Verse number two, wherein in time past you walked. He begins to describe what we used to do. He said, you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Our walk, that's the way we conducted our life. He said, you conducted your life in the world system. You were disobedient to God, and your God was Satan. Oh, not my God. Satan's not my God. If you haven't trusted Christ, he is. Lost people are dead people. Lost people are deceived people. And Satan is deceiving people every single day, trying to get them to think, I'm okay. I'm okay. Nothing's going to happen to me. I'm okay. I get messages just about every week of somebody that has died. And sometimes it's an elderly person. Sometimes it's a young person. Sometimes it's through their own making. Sometimes it's due to an accident. Sometimes it's because of a health issue. There are people right now, I just found out about it. My son told me about it, how that someone did a Facebook Live broadcast, you may have heard about it, and took a shotgun and blew their head off. And now children and students that saw that are in counseling because of it. Can I tell you, we've got to reach people with the gospel so that they understand life is worth living. And God has a purpose for your life, but you'll never know that purpose if you don't trust Christ as your Savior. You say, well, I'm okay. There's nothing wrong with me. Then all of a sudden cancer hit. All of a sudden, you're in a car accident, and you're taken out of this world. My grandmother, my grandfather were in a car accident, and I mean, they're talking, and everything is fine, and everything seems to be okay, and then all of a sudden, they get hit by an 18-wheeler, and my grandfather's gone. That quick. You can't get that back. We can't get him back. And all that mattered was he was ready to meet God. Lost people are dead people. Lost people are deceived people. Satan's saying, you don't have to worry about that. Hey, by the way, don't pay any attention to that preacher. We're going to go eat lunch in a few minutes. Don't listen to that preacher. We're going to go outside and play in a few minutes. Don't listen to that preacher. You've got things to do this in a little while. Don't listen to that preacher. Hey, this is the first Sunday of the NFL. Oh, God help us. Lost people are deceived people. But I want you to notice something else. Not only are lost people dead people, not only are lost people deceived people, but lost people are depraved people. Look at verse 3. The Bible says, among whom also we all had our conversation, that's our life, in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Depraved means corrupt. It means wicked. It's being perverted. He speaks about the lust, those strong desires. He speaks about that wanting and seeking something to please the flesh and that fallen nature, that sinful nature. And he speaks of us as children of wrath. In other words, on our way to hell. I don't like to think about that. I don't like to talk about that. I don't like to preach about that, but may I say to you, if we're not on our way to heaven, there's only one other place we can be on our way to. But I want you to notice something here. Lost people, not only are dead people, not only are lost people deceived people, not only are lost people depraved people, but lost people are doomed people. Doomed people. John chapter 3, if I can go over there and look for just a moment, I'll try to hurry. And John chapter number 3, I'm going to read verse number 18. The Bible says, he that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Verse 36, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. Lost people. I'm surrounded by them. Everywhere I go. When I go to the mall, there's dead people. When I go to the work, there's dead people. When I go to school, there's dead people. Everywhere we go, we're surrounded by dead people. Deceived people. Depraved people. Doomed people. Headed to hell. I remember a time when I was a little boy that people were so broken over their families that they didn't even wait till the service to be over. People would run to the altar and bury their faces there, and tears running down their face, beg God to save their children and their friends and family. You don't see much of that anymore. You know why? We think everything's okay. We're being deceived. It's okay. Everything's all right. There's been times now, Pastor, I've actually went over. I was talking to someone one day, and I said, let me ask you something. I said, do you know for sure if something were to happen to you that you'd go to heaven? And when I said that, someone else answered for them. Oh, yes, they're saved. Wait a minute now. I appreciate your kindness. But you see, that's something you can't answer for them. Let me ask it again. Are you sure if somebody had... Preacher, I told you. I remember when they got saved. Wait a minute now. You see, there's only one person in this world that I can assure you I know that is saved, and that would be myself. The only one you can be sure of that you know that is saved would be yourself. But I wonder how often we have answered for others and talked them into believing they're saved when they're not. Maybe they made a profession. Maybe they said a prayer, but they knew good and well they were not saved. I had a cousin. She went to a girl's home. She lived there for a while. She would go out and tour with them. She would stand and give a testimony. She would raise their hand when they would sing. Today, she is a lesbian. Denies God, denies Christ. And you know what she told me? I said, I remember when you used to go and do these things. And she said, oh, she said, that didn't mean anything. She said, we knew when to raise the hand. We knew when to give the testimony. We knew what to say. She said, but I didn't believe any of that. She said, I just did what I had to do to be in the home. I wonder this morning if you're fooling somebody. Sometimes we think about the word hypocrite. Hypocrisy, wearing the mask. You know, in October they have this thing, Halloween, where people put on a mask. I believe there's many people today that's put on a mask. Oh, maybe not one that you would wear out for that one day of the year, but I mean, we know how to act when we come to church. We know what to say. We know how to talk. We know how to lift our hand. We know all these things. We're going through the motions, but it's a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Lost people are dead people. Lost people are deceived people. Lost people are depraved people. Lost people are doomed people. But can I give you one last thing? Lost people can be delivered people. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin. What made the difference? Look at verse number 4. We're going to close out. But God. He made the difference. But God, who is rich in mercy for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But God. God in his great mercy. Mercy not giving us what we deserve. God in his great grace giving us what we do not deserve. God in his great love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That great love of God, that great grace of God, that great mercy of God has been bestowed upon us. You can be delivered. Let me ask you, my friend, has there come a time in your life when you can say, I know without a doubt, I trusted Christ as my Savior? Man, I know it. I know it. You see, I don't remember much about my physical birth. And I guess the reason why is because I was born at such an early age. I just don't remember it. But I remember my second birth. I remember when I was born again. I remember when God changed my life. Has there been that time in your life? Can you walk out of here and say, preacher, I know without a doubt I am a child of God. If not, you can. You can. And the same message I'm giving you this morning is the same message we want to take and give to those that are homeless in California. The same message I'm giving you this morning is the same message we want to take and give the incarcerated in California. The same message I'm giving you this morning is the same message I want to take and go into the schools in California. You know why? Because this is the only message that matters. It's going to be an election soon. But have you noticed presidents come and presidents go? But life continues on. And all that's going to matter is whether you're ready to meet God when we leave this world. Do you know Him this morning? Let's stand for prayer, shall we please? Father, we love You today. Thank You so much for the privilege of being here. What a blessing to be here in this fine church. Thank You for this dear pastor. Now, Lord, You know I don't know any of the people. I don't know their hearts. I just know what You put on my heart to preach. So, Father, I pray in the next few moments You would do a work. Lord, there very well could be some people in this room that need to be saved. If so, I pray they will trust You as their Savior today. Lord, there could be some people in this room, they're already saved, but they have family that's not saved. God, I beg You that You will break our hearts again. And Lord, may we see the need and the necessity to fall on our faces before You, begging You to touch them and save them. And may they be receptive to the conviction by the Holy Ghost of God. So, Father, I pray in the next few minutes, do something wonderful and special here, I pray, in Jesus' name. Pastor, You come.